Okay, thank you, Samuel. Greetings, everyone, and all those that are here. Praise God. The name of the message today, before we do the, and it's good to see Carol she was able to make it today. The peace of God's presence, and that's the name of the message. And after we finish the message, I'm going to ask our dear sister, Dawn, who came all the way from Michigan to be baptized in Jesus' name. And we'll ask her at some point, perhaps, to get herself ready for that. You know where the robes are downstairs and all. And if there's anyone who would like to assist her in that, feel free. The peace of God's presence. That is the name of the message today. And before we go any further, I wrote down a few things that I thought was a bit telling in our daily life today. I want to make mention of the things that bring about a false peace, that create problems and chaos in this world, where there is no real peace. And I'm just thinking here as I was writing this down and how that our life is woven in two things, either by this world or by Jesus. Either we allow or let the world come in, or we allow or let Jesus take over our lives. So, I was reading here the other day, June 9th, how that coming out of Japan, how that all three nuclear reactors, 1, 2, and 3, were completely melted down there was a complete melt through. And now because of that radiation, Seattle, Washington is being affected by that. And it's an amazing thing how that this radiation has spread. Now, just thinking about all this creates a little bit of an unease, doesn't it? It creates a little bit of a... there's no peace in that. There's a feeling of hopelessness. Because there are things that we can't control. There are things that we can't put our thumb on and just say, I don't want nothing more to do with it. You just can't turn it off and it'll go away. These are problems and issues in life whereby we must seek God and seek His protection and seek His peace. Tennessee passes a law criminalizing posting of any image that someone finds offensive. By Governor Bill Haslam, who perpetuated this idiocy of law, which means a person could find themselves in jail for up to a year and be fined $2,500 by merely posting something that somebody might find offensive somewhere. These are the same people in the same state that fleeces the American public by literal highway robbery, where the cops are told if you want to make your money, you're going to have to find it in tickets, where people are ticketed daily for no other reason, no charges, but that the cops need their money. They need to put food on their table. So that's how they make their money. The American public is fleeced in more ways than one. You have 1 in 4 computer hackers are government agents, CIA agents. You have problems in Mexico. You have where now these Mexican cartels are kidnapping people on buses and putting them into arenas, giving them machetes, clubs, hammers, sticks, anything they can find, and told that They are to fight each other to the death. This is in Mexico. And the survivors are sent on suicide missions. This is the kind of stuff that happens out there today in this world. You have women, men, people that they're not thinking on all four cylinders. You have a lady who called 9/11 for a wrong food order that was given her. So she called 9/11 and complained. You have people that are being arrested for feeding the homeless in Florida. You have all kinds of problems. And here, Henry Kissinger once wrote, "Control oil and you control nations. Control food and you control the people." This is the same person who was grotesquely found dancing naked with Merv Griffin. These are the kinds of things that this world has to offer. Many tried to label Kissinger as the great peacemaker, when in fact, you know, he truly was not. And so, with that, I want to go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, where it says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You want to know who the true Prince of Peace is? It's Jesus Christ. People are labeled and given names and accolades and pats on the back and people passing glory around in churches and governments all over the world, when the true glory belongs to God. In verse 7 it says here, "And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You see, his government is agreeable to his character. The Lord's government is agreeable to his character. And that should be our character. We should be in agreement with the Word of God. We should line up with the Word of God to find true peace, true solace, true understanding and wisdom, and how to live this life. Praise God. If you go to Romans chapter 3, I too want to share there. Romans chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. And there it says, in verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. These are the people that reject and forsake God. So they have become good for nothing. They have become as fodder for the fire of hell. I don't mean to preach or teach or try to cause people to lament and to get squirmy or in their seats or what have you. But I do want to alert people. I do want to awaken people. I do want people to see the need to not forsake God. Because he's the only hope we all have. He's our only hope. And then in verse 13 it says here, "Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." See, these are the people that await opportunities to speak evil, lies, mischief, to cause problems for other people. To cause problems for other churches or organizations or governments. In verse 14, "whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They show themselves to be under the full weight and heavy control of sin in their lives." See, when you give your life over to Jesus Christ and He redeems your soul, He will lift that from you. He'll redeem you from that heavy weight, that heavy control. He'll help you. He'll lead you and He'll guide you in the ways of righteousness all the time. Because you'll have a conscience. You'll want to please God and do what's right. I remember talking to Pastor David J. Meyer over the phone when I was out in Georgia there. And I know others have heard this before. And I remember how that I would call him, and I was working on a home, and I worked with a company called True Tech Pest and Animal Control. And I used to seal off these animals getting into homes, and used to have to seal off construction gaps and all these gable vents, and for bats and rats and snakes and birds of every kind, and all these raccoons and what have you. So I was over there working on this home, and as I was working, I felt compelled to call Pastor. I was going through a lot at that moment, and I felt so restless. And I wanted to know. I needed to hear Pastor tell me something. I needed to hear a word of advice. I needed a little understanding, a little help. And so I called Pastor and talked over the phone, and he says, "Tim," he says, "sometimes you go through these things because you're not in the right place with God. Sometimes you fight God and you should be a different place where he was mentioning I should be here." But he also went on to say that in the Word of God, he always would seek the Lord on how to do all those things that are right and good in his sight. And I never forgot that. And I knew that because of that, I would find peace. I would find contentment. I would find that when I do those kind of things that are right, good, and pleasing in His sight, that I wouldn't have to walk around with regrets. I wouldn't have to sit there and wonder and worry and wonder, gee, am I right with God? Am I pleasing to Him? Am I doing and saying the things that I should or ought to? And it's not about being perfect either. No one's perfect. Not a one of us are perfect. Only Jesus is. But He gives us the grace and the means to know and understand things and how to find that deep-seated peace that only Jesus can fill in the deepest recesses of the heart and the spirit. If you go to verse 15, it says here, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." What that is telling us is that these people are slaves to their own sins. These people go about with misery and destruction following after them wherever they go. Those are the people that don't have the peace of God living in them. Some do, some don't. I'm not saying all those that don't have God, that trouble follows them. But there are many that don't have God, that when they walk, wherever they go, there seems to be a cloud, a dark cloud hanging over them. And I'm not pointing fingers at anyone anywhere at all. But simply from the Word of God, as it shows us. And in verse 17, "And the way of peace have they not known." These people are strangers to peace because they have not known the peace of God. And in Romans 3:18, it says here, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." You see, who you fear, you also respect. If you fear God, then you'll allow God to govern your life. Because truly that is where all the answers belong. That's where we find our answers. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our joy. That's where we find those things that we need at the most difficult times of our life. If we could just reach out to Jesus and ask Him to take a hold of our hearts, to take a hold of our thoughts, take a hold of our minds, to take a hold of our life and to control us, to help us, lead us and guide us in all the paths of righteousness, we don't ever have to worry again, because we know that our life is in His hands. And we don't have to always second guess and wonder anymore. But we know that when we go through tough times, that Jesus will be with us. It's not about going through life full of ease, because that's not how it works. Jesus mentioned that in this world, you will have tribulation. And we do have tribulation at every waking moment. But it is through Jesus. It is through His Spirit, through His counsel, through His wisdom, through His power, and through the quickening of the Holy Ghost, do we find strength and power to move forward. If we go to Luke chapter 19, 41 to 44, there it says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." What that's saying is that Jesus, it showed the tender mercies that are evident in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he saw the city that was about to be thrown into confusion, the Lord wept over the approaching storms, and he does for your life too. The Lord knows and he understands all of the things that you go through. We are weak. We fall short of God's glory every day. But God knows the heart, you see. When you reach out to Jesus, we all have our mistakes. We all have our frailties. None of us are perfect. But there truly is a God who knows how, in spite of ourselves, to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. If we would just reach out to Jesus and ask Him to change us and mold us and make us into a new person. If we would just ask Jesus and seek His face with all our heart, even finding a secret place of hiding in your own room, a walk out into the woods. I used to love doing that all the time. I would go for long walks. I would put a CD or a tape in my Walkman, and I would go for a 2-3 mile walk, and out in the middle of nowhere sometimes, and how that the Lord would speak to me and help me and to show me things as I was going for these long walks. And oh, the times that I would just oftentimes fall to the ground, hit my knees on the ground, and lift up my hands and ask God to help me. Ask God to show me what to do next. And ask God to give me the wisdom to know how to lead my own life. And it's so difficult sometimes, because when life comes at you with both barrels, sometimes you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go or who to call, or you don't even know what to think next, or how to process what's going on. But there is a God, His name is Jesus Christ, who will do that for you. Because it's in those moments that surpasses all understanding that He quickens your spirit. He quickens your mind. He'll put a thought here or a thought there. He'll put a remembrance of a scripture verse. Or He'll do this or He'll do that for you. And it'll be a quickening. He'll give you comfort. There might be a short moment where you feel a little glimmer of a peace even. And then you can take a hold of that, because you know that's the direction the Lord is. That's something the Lord's trying to show you. That's something the Lord is trying to tell you. so that you can get a hold of it and grasp it and hang on to it. And then seek Him further so that you can solidify yourself in those areas that He's trying to show you, that He's trying to teach you. And that is why it is so important to read the Word of God and to pray every day. Here in verse 42 it says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. These verses are talking about our present and future welfare. And those that put their trust in God, or those who are playing games with God, they are hid from their eyes because they're not serious with God. Because they have forsaken the true way. In verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. You see, when we ignore God's calling, when we ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the kinds of things that come upon us. In verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. So what is that saying? The time of your visitation. The time of my visitation. The time of visitation that the Lord is talking about here is a time when you hear the Word of God being preached, whether over a pulpit or a radio or a tape or a CD, or you read a book or the Word of God, it is a time of visitation that the Lord is trying to get a hold of you. He's trying to get your attention. Don't ignore those times and moments. Don't ignore that. Don't forsake those moments. Because it's there in God's tender mercies. He's reaching out to you then. He's reaching out to you even now. Because on that great day, that great judgment day, when we stand before Almighty God, there can be and will be no excuses given. Because every head, every knee will bow in submission, knowing that they had had their opportunities and chances to get right before God, but didn't. So we are to ask, seek, and knock on the door leading to salvation. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, Deuteronomy 29, starting in verse 17. And it says here, And ye have seen their abominations, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. You see, in today's world, we also have idols of stone and wood. We also have idols in our own lives. And I can't point fingers to anyone here. I can point fingers to myself, though. I can say that I've been guilty of many things like that. I have been guilty of idols in my life. I can say that I've been guilty of making the idol, a TV, an idol. Or I've been guilty of making a sports hero an idol in my life. I've been guilty of many things. But God can wash away and wipe away that from your life. God will convict each and every one of you too of what's an idol in your life. I can't speak for anyone here at all, but only God and you, between you and the Lord only. And in verse 18 it says here, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the other gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. You see, that root of wormwood and gall runs deep. That root of idleness, of putting idols in our hearts, can run so deep that sometimes it makes it almost impossible to break away from it. And it is only through the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ that can break that for us. And He will. To everyone who reaches out to Jesus, He will never turn you away. And in verse 19, it says here, "And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst." You see, these are the people that think themselves to be okay when they are not. These are people that I used to be just like. I used to be just like that, thinking I was okay. Thinking I was just fine. Just, you know, leave me alone. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about this or that. I had moments like that in my life. I had moments like that when I knew that it was, that I would be convicted of my sin. And I liked that sin that I was in. And that I would be convicted of it if somebody even dared to tell me about it. But oh, that was a mercy of God. And I didn't even know it. That was the hour of visitation. And by the grace and mercy of Almighty God, He allowed me another day. I woke up again and had breath in me, that I could still have another chance to change. I could still have another chance to live another day, to tell of my testimony, to live a day where I could glorify God. He didn't give up on me, and neither should we give up on Him. Neither should we give up on each other. And in verse 20, the Lord will not spare him. Let me put some light on the subject here better. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Who is the Lord talking about here? The Lord is talking about the very person who continues to reject the Lord calling out to them. This is the kind of person that the Lord is trying to reach. But that person is keeping the Lord at arm's length away. That person is continuing to walk away and reject the tender mercies of God Almighty. And when that happens, if that continues to happen in your life or in anyone's life, that becomes a habit. And that habit becomes a way of life. And that way of life, heading the wrong way, leads to hell. And in verse 21, "And the Lord shall separate unto him evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." So the Lord knows how to separate the precious from the vile. The Lord knows how to separate sin from righteousness. The Lord knows how to separate. But what you want and what I want is to be separated under righteousness. We want to be separated for good, to be blessed. We don't want to be separated with the vile and the evil. We don't want to be marked as a man or a woman who rejected Jesus. Because for that person, There is no peace and there is no hope for that person. In Jeremiah chapter 6, 13 and 14, it says there, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from that prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." Now, I'm talking about so-called preachers, godly men, who should know better. I'm talking about men of, those who call themselves men of God. Those who should be warning people and are not warning people. They will be doubly shamed. They have a heavy responsibility. And if we don't warn people of the dangers, and if we don't warn people of pitfalls, and if we don't warn people of the of what can happen to your soul if you reject God, then my blood, or then your blood could be on my hands. That's why it's important that I be faithful. It's important that all those who preach the Word of God be faithful. That they take it very seriously. Because the calling of God is without repentance. I don't want to ever lose my way. And I don't want ever to see you lose your way. Ever. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "And they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." These are the pastors out there who will sit there and preach flatteries. They'll pat you on the back and they'll tell you all warm and fuzzy things and how that, how, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, and they want your money, and so they're going to speak kindly to you. They want your attention. They want your friendship. So they won't sit there and they won't warn you and be real with you. And that's important that we, not only myself, but others all over the world, that we tell you the truth as we know it. As the Lord gives us the grace to see and to hear and to know, so He'll do the same for you by the grace of Almighty God. And He'll reach deep down into your hearts and fill it with peace, with joy, with hope that comes through great obedience in obeying the Word of God and trusting Jesus. None of us are exempt at all. And we all need help. Every one of us. In Isaiah chapter 48, it says here in verse 21, 22, "And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock. For them he clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out." Who is that rock? Jesus Christ. What did he pour out? His tender mercies, his word, his testimony. The blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for you and me. Those were the things he poured out like wine under the ground. He poured out his life for you and me that we might live. He died on the cross, gave up the ghost that you and I might receive the Holy Ghost. He died for you and me that we would have life eternal. Amen. "And there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." You know, these are the people because they have rejected peace. They have rejected God's rest. And where true peace is, true rest is. True rest found in the Holy Ghost, who comes and lives within you, who abides there to give you comfort, to edify you, to comfort you, to help you in your great time of need. Truly, truly we all need that more than ever today. More than ever. More than ever. In a world gone awry with confusion, chaos, violence of every kind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. What is going on here? Paul is exhorting and encouraging these Christians that God's presence is among them if they live in peace with one another, if they walk in peace, if they learn how to live and trust and obey, the peace of God will be upon you too. The peace of God will be upon you and me. When we learn how to just let go of the whole world, and allow Jesus Christ to come in and take over. Because I can't do it on my own, I promise you. I've tried. I can't do it on my own. I remember one night, years and years and years I thought I was okay. I remember one night in the MGM bar in Hibbing, Minnesota, how I was there having a drink, and I was just contemplating a lot of different things and scenarios in my life and what I was going through and what I was doing. And I didn't have a real peace. I thought I had peace, but I was very restless. And it was a false peace. And so I asked God, I says, Lord, please show me. Show me what to do. If you're real, put something in my heart. Reveal yourself to me. And I remember I had right at that moment a desire to just put the drink down on the bar. I put the drink half gone. I put the drink down and walked out of the bar. And I went home and I woke up the next day with a strong desire to get in my car and to just go try to find a good church somewhere. And so I got up. I was maybe 6 months out of the military at that time, out of the Navy. And I remember how that I got into my car and I drove all over Hibbing and I couldn't find anything at all. And it was all over the place. And then I ended up driving towards Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And there along the side, the right-hand side of the highway, and there was a church. Didn't look like a church. It was basically an old furniture store turned into a church. But I walked in because I saw a sign, Faith Christian Fellowship. Three things that I was looking for. And I walked in the door and I asked the lady. I knocked and I was asking, I was seeking. I knocked on the door and I asked the lady, is this a good church? And she said, yeah, you came to the right place. And okay, great. And so she began to explain to me and talk to me and about the things of God. And she asked if I knew the Lord. I says, well, I thought I did, but I says, I'm not sure. And at that point, she prayed with me. And I received Jesus into my heart that moment. And at that point, the desire to drink immediately left. And I no longer picked up another drink. And I left it behind. And then I remember how that I went back to Hibbing and they called me and I ended up moving over there. I ended up going to this church and was there for 3.5 years before there was a big church split. But that's all on my testimony that I gave, and it's a long story. But that the Lord is able to reach down and grab a hold of us and change us when we cry out to Him, when we seek after Him. He's able to get a hold of our hearts. He's able to speak to our minds, our hearts. He's able to reveal things to us, to prompt us, to quicken us. And that's what we all need today. We all need that. And it's a desperate time that we live in. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows how to redeem. He knows how to give the soul rest and peace. Hebrews chapter 13, 20. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This, my friends, right here. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So what happened there? When Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed you and me by the shed blood of Jesus. When that blood flowed from that cross of Calvary, it was flowing for you and me. When that blood was shed, it could only be shed from a perfect vessel. It could only be shed from a lamb without spot or wrinkle. It could only be shed from the only one true Son of God. It was kind of like when Abraham was about to, he had to kill Isaac. But the Lord stayed his hand. He didn't allow that to happen, no. He did want to try his faith. Oftentimes, that's how our faith is tested. But the perfect Lamb is Jesus. That's the only one that was allowed to go to the cross to die for you and me. Although there might be people that you would die for, perhaps. There might be people that you might think you would give your life for. And I'm sure there are. But you can't redeem their soul. You can't redeem their soul, not like Jesus can. Because that's the kind of redemption we all seek. We all want our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For that moment will come soon enough. All those that are sitting here, all those who are online listening in, all of those all over the world who maybe one day will hear this via tape or CD or... All I know is one day we will all stand before God. And we all must give an account for what we've ever done or said. But to those that know Jesus when they die, to those that know and are redeemed by the blood of Jesus while they are still yet alive, when they die, they will receive their crown. They will receive a just reward. But to those that die without Jesus, there is no hope. Once you die, there's no coming back to try to make things right. And that is why it is by the graciousness and the sovereignty of Almighty God that people here today are listening. Because God has his hand upon your lives. He's reaching out to you now. All those who are online, same thing. In Psalms 85:8, it says here, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. It's kind of like when a dog vomits and goes back to its own vomit. So it is with the man or woman of God who once knew the Lord but turned away and walked after its own filth again. It kind of reminds me of how the world is today. It reminds me of what they're doing to our food even now. How that they're developing a soy product, as I was telling Shirley yesterday about this, with human excrement and calling it an alternative meat source. This is the kind of stuff that is going on today in a fallen, dying world, in a decaying world, where it seems to me that common sense has gone out the window, where it seems to me there is no longer any real wisdom. There seems to be no understanding. There seems to be no real justice. It's the just us department, as Pastor used to say. It's just us, the government, who watches over themselves only and leaves us to fend for ourselves, or will try to cripple you and me through programs and indoctrinate us into communism, or to lead us astray financially into dead markets, fleecing the public, stealing, lying, cheating at every wake, at every turn. Therefore, our only hope, our only peace is found in what Jesus can do for you and me in these end days. Because truly there is only one bubble of protection, that is under the bubble of Jesus Christ. Only He can put that bubble around you and me in these tough times. You can try to shield yourself. You can try to shade yourself from catastrophe. You can try to pat your savings accounts. All of that is for naught, because all of that has holes in it. The only one who can preserve you and me is Jesus. He's the only one who can take nothing and make it something. He can, like the old woman who in the days of Elisha needed a ways and a means of making ends meet, and how that Elisha told her to bring in all that she had and make him something to eat. She had only enough to make for her son and herself a little cake and then die. But that how Elisha spoke to her and encouraged her to go out and borrow all the oil jugs she could find. And God multiplied that. She was able to pay off all her debt. But you see, that was the quickening. That's the quickening power of the Holy Ghost in our life. How that the Lord is able to come into your life and into my life to make something out of nothing, and to redeem us, to give us wisdom and understanding on how to make things work, how we can help others. The Lord is able to do that for you and me, even now. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And in Ephesians chapter 2:14, it goes on to say, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." You know, there used to be a ceremonial law called the partition wall in the temple. And that how that the Lord separated the two. And then when that middle partition was taken down, both Gentile and Jew and Greek were one in liberty in Jesus Christ. That middle wall of partition was taken down so that we all had the freedom to go to Jesus. Nobody was privileged more than another to have access to God. Everyone had access now. That includes you and me. All of those who are seeking answers, who need peace and joy and hope. Jesus is here for you today to help you. In Isaiah 53:5, it says here, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." Did you know that? Did you know that He was wounded for your transgressions? He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Christ provided both cure and mercy by bearing the heavy burdens of our sin for all eternity. Eternity's past. Eternity upon eternity. For all those that will be saved and that will live in glory will be eternity upon eternity. But think about it. For all those who are lost, it will be the same. Eternity upon eternity upon eternity without end. Which is, to me, it's an unbearable thought. Ephesians 2:17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So the Lord is trying to open our eyes that we would repent, that we would be healed and set free. That's the whole purpose of God's mercy, His grace and peace upon us in this lifetime. While we still have yet breath in us, we still have hope. In Romans chapter 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is what I want to encourage all of you today. By faith, reach out. By faith, reach out. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will fill your hearts and minds according to His riches and glory. He'll help you and me. Romans 4:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those justified by faith will exhibit the fruits of peace and joy filled with the Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. My friends, these are the things that you look for in a Christian. We must mortify the deeds of the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit, walk in the light as He is in the light. I remember an old story about, as I'm sure you've heard this before, about an old man who sat in the street corner. And as he sat in the street corner, he had with him a lantern. And he was a blind man. He couldn't see nothing. He was blind. And a stranger came up to him and asked him, "Sir, I've noticed that you're sitting here on the street corner and you're blind. And you even have a lantern right next to you. Why is that?" And he turned to the man and he says, "That is because I don't want anyone to stumble over me." So it is in our own lives, that we live in such a manner, in such a way that no man has cause to stumble over what we do or say. In Proverbs chapter 3:17 says here, "Her ways are heavy of plenty. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." What is he talking about? This is the peace of wisdom and understanding that we have in Jesus Christ. That we should edify, exhort, and comfort one another in this. That we have the peace of pleasantness in the words of our mouth. The things that we share with others. How that we try and seek to comfort and edify and help those that are in need around us. And in Romans chapter 14, says here, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." So we must let our conscience be void of offense towards men, towards God. Let our conscience be clear. Let our consciousness be one with God so that we have a clean conscience, a conscience that is void of sin, void of perpetual faults and frailties that we allow through the flesh. And in 19 it says here, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and these things wherewith one may edify another. So, what makes for peace? Meekness, humility, self-denial. These are the kind of things that we should exhibit as Christians towards other people, towards those without, so that those without can see the fruits and desire the very same things in their life. In Romans chapter 15, 13, it says here, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, it's the joy and peace that walk together hand by hand in hand and side by side. That's the joy and peace that you and I should seek. That's what we can have, and that's what we find when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, when we are baptized in Jesus' name, when we walk in newness of life, when we know that when we are right with God, when our conscience is right and clean and clear, then we can be void of all confusion. We can know that there is a God that sees us and approves of us, of what we do. That our conscience dictates our relationship with God. He'll show us through our conscience if what we have done or said has wronged someone or wronged God in heaven. He wants every one of us to be clean vessels unto honor and not dishonor. In Isaiah 32, 17 says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. This is the serene, still peace of mind that every true man and woman who has ever lived, who has ever been a Christian, possesses. It is that serene, still peace of mind and heart that no matter what you're going through, like that bird on that limb and the torrential rain and the cascading falls and the dark clouds hanging over them, but yet that bird found that perfect place of peace in the midst of chaos. Through it all, that peace prevailed. For you and for me, Jesus died. For you and for me, He gave us that peace. Through all the chaos of the world, even as Jesus died on the cross, He had perfect peace. Even as He died on that cross, He did it for you and me. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in assured dwellings and in quiet resting places. And in Job 22:21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Accept hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Don't walk around complaining and murmuring about all these things happening to us, but accept the hardships as they come, because those hardships provide a bridge from loss and death and heartache to hope. In Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, you can be full of trouble, around chaos, and yet be filled with a perfect stillness of peace, God's peace. That is His presence in your life. Don't ever forsake that. Don't ever walk away or don't walk on God's mercy in your life. When you walk on God's mercies, that is showing contempt for the good that God has done for you. So we want to be careful how we treat God and how we treat others around us. Because each and every one of us need each other. Each and every one of us need God. We all need that hope. We all need that peace of God's presence in our life. No one can make it alone. Nobody is an island unto themselves. For there's coming a time when truly, throughout the chaos of the whole world, when things begin to fall apart at the seams as they already are, we're going to need one another more than ever before. We want to be able to call someone on the phone and have the other person on the other side of the phone be filled with the Holy Ghost and have just the right word for you. Have just the right thing to say at the right time to give you comfort and peace, filling your heart with hope. In Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That speaks for itself. There's nothing more that can be said to that scripture. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. If God is working on you, there is great hope for you. If God is reaching down into your heart, oh, there's great hope. Oh, there's great hope. Malachi 2:5, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Do you know what? When you fear God, that is the beginning of all wisdom. When you fear God, that is the key to peace with God. When you fear God, you show yourself as a man or a woman that has respect unto something higher and greater than you. In Isaiah 66:12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. What it means here is, it shall flow like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. That means a perpetual series of blessings flowing like a stream in your life. That's what that means. That we could have a perpetual series of blessings upon our lives. Isaiah, I'm almost done. Isaiah 57:18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and unto his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Do you see the grace and the mercy and the peace that God is showing people? As he reaches out to people who don't even care or don't even know him, aren't even seeking of him. And yet the Lord says, I am found of them that sought me not. Oh, that is mercy. Untold mercy. Fathomless mercy. And in Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In spite of all that's going on around you, all the darts and the arrows of life, your mind is stayed upon Jesus, you will find perfect peace. I remember fighting many battles with the mind. I remember fighting untold battles that nearly shipwrecked me, I thought. But by God's grace and mercy, he kept me. He helped me to fight, but he was testing me too. I've often thought how I couldn't trust someone's faith unless it was first tested and tried. I have to speak for myself when I say that. How can I expect others to trust me if I haven't been tested and tried in my own walk? How can I truly give you anything at all today unless I have been through it first? Unless I have been through terrible trials in my life to be able to come here and share how that God has delivered me, he can deliver you too. Amen. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, Jeremiah 33:6 says, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And lastly, coming up upon Romans and John here, Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, what we're talking about isn't about me. It's about salvation in Jesus Christ. It's about the cross. It's about the shed blood of Jesus. That what he did for you, he reached down into eternity. He reached down through the ages and he saw you sitting right here, right now, even on the cross. As he died for your sins on the cross, he saw you right here, right now. John 14:27 will end everything that I'm talking about now. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is what the Lord is trying to tell you and me today. Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. We live in tough times. We live in days of great uncertainty. We live in a day where today, where confusion is the order of the day. We live in today where at every turn, you are disappointed. You are disgusted with things that are happening, not only in your own life, but in the world around you, in your neighbors, your relatives or friends or people that you know from work or other people that you're aware of. These kinds of things happen to us. And greatly we need the peace of God more than ever before. We need the peace of God's presence living among us individually in our hearts. For truly without that, there is no hope. Without that, there is no faith. Because when we have peace, we have hope. And when we have faith, we have peace and hope. We can trust God. We can trust God today. We don't have to walk out of here, or when those that are online or those that might listen in one day. You don't have to walk away feeling defeated or crushed any longer. You can give your hope, all the hope that you have in you. Give it to Jesus. He'll multiply that hope. He'll make it real. He'll turn it into something real. From nothing, He'll make it something. He'll turn your life around. He knows how to do it. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask our dear sister to, if you would be gracious enough to get into the baptismal robe, and just make sure you have a undergarments on, if you would, and then we'll see you up here when you're ready. Praise God. So, what we're going to do is we're going to sing some songs until she is able to make her way back up here. And, you know, I would just ask that you'd be gracious enough to stick with us and to also celebrate this great momentous moment in her life as she goes down in the water and comes up a brand new person by faith for the remission of all sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And that she would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So these are the kinds of things that we do here at this church. We try to be a lighthouse and a hope for people living in a dark, deranged world where there is reason and understanding and wisdom, where we can come together through prayer. We can come together giving each other encouragement, edifying each other, and greatly, greatly, greatly comforted. That's what we all need. Praise God. Well, Shirley, would you... Okay, praise God. We're going to sing. There is a song here that on page 247...